Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show.
Can't help you when you're old. She's got the cushion for the pushing of a love so true. Well, she's talking to me, well, she's looking at you. She says there is no other, no need to question why. She's always on the phone talking to another guy.
John Yoder is the special guest tonight, and he has not called in. So I'm trying to bring up some audio, and I see Mike from Singapore on the line, but we're waiting for John because he's running the show tonight. So I'm going to change to another song. Just give us one more minute of airtime. Thank you. Here we go.
Thank you.
Okay, John, we were playing a second song for you. Mike from Singapore is on the line, and I'm going to bring John in to do the introduction. One moment, please. Hi, John. What's your topic tonight?
Well, I thought a really particularly interesting thing would be from the cradle to the grave, who owns your assets? And it's been interesting over the last few months and even years. I've always looked at money and economics and numbers, but I had a really limited understanding, and I was too busy living life to sit back from a farther perspective. One of the nice things about the internet is there's so much information available so quickly, and it's actually endless. But I think what we're running into as human beings, we all want a better life. And what we run into is the first thing we're told is get an education. So we get an education, but you got to take out a student loan unless you're rich. And then once you finish your student education, you got to get a car because you got to get out there and get a job. And, well, you know, you got to borrow money for that. And then if you get a relationship, usually you want to get married, have some kids or something like that. You need a house. Got to borrow some money for that. And you want to start your own business to get ahead. Well, you got to borrow money for that. And you start realizing this is slavery machine, a debt prison machine that you can never get out. And I was, I talk to people all the time. When I was a kid, we used to have nickel and dime stores. Now the cheap places are dollar stores. So just in my own lifetime, economically, things have inflated 20 times or more. And you start wondering, well, who's making all this money? You know, I'm not making 20 times as much money as when I started. And you realize, well, banks print money. You know, and then you start going, well, how does this all work? You know, well, they print the money, they create bonds, they loan it out to you, you can purchase U.S. bonds, inflation sets in. Who creates inflation? You start looking at, let's see, the Federal Reserve prints the money. Well, who gives them the okay to do this? Well, they say they need to do this. Do we vote them in? No, we actually don't. In fact, it's a private company offshore. It's not even American. And, you know, you start looking at other things. Well, we used to have gold to back up everything. And you go, well, where's the gold? It's in Fort Knox. You know, in the mid-30s, FDR, basically, they took away the gold from American people. They confiscated it. It was a penalty to actually have gold.
Richard Nixon is the one who eliminated the gold standard. He downgraded it. Go ahead and keep talking. I'm going to bring Mike from Singapore in.
Oh, absolutely. And so kind of in after the roaring 20s when we were printing up money and everything was going crazy, we created the Federal Reserve. And then the stock market started to get some bubbles, and it blew up. And we're wondering, why did it blow up? And how come people with money like Rockefeller just kind of had the lucky timing to pull out their money? And, how come you start looking at names like Rothschild and other groups of people who have influence and power, they always seem to have the right moves. Well, in the 30s, we had World War I, by the way, which a lot of money went to finance into German infrastructure, institutions, the country. And you find out after World War II, the same thing happened, you know, with Germany, with Japan. And you start to realize that money is being shifted around by banks. And out of the World War II, basically, they tried League of Nations in the 20s to align everyone, and then that didn't really work. But after World War II, we were so freaked out about the whole planet being at risk, they started a second attempt. They called it the UN, United Nations. By the way, in 1936, we finished Fort Knox as a military base where we keep all the gold.
Can I jump in a second?
Oh, go for it.
after the Haley lady, Nikki Haley, resigned from the UN, Trump was considering taking her post and taking it out of the cabinet and downgrading that post, the UN ambassador post.
Trump is an interesting character because a lot of times we tend to think of things as Republican, Democrat, but really if you kind of back up just a little bit, you'll start to see that really it's about globalism. It's about two power groups. And, you know, you can have capitalists, you can have socialists or communists. You go, those are two separate things. What's the final
Picture? Economic systems are not the power brokering. When you're talking about wars and controlling the universe, it used to be a bipolar system of Russia and Eastern Bloc countries versus us. But now we are the only superpower on Earth, according to political scientists. It's called a unipolar system. China does not have the military capability we do yet. But I do have Mike on the line. I'm just going to read one thing quick, and then Mike.
Let's bring him in.
Well, John, I got to read something about the gold standard. The Nixon shock was a series of economic measures undertaken by U.S. President Nixon in 71, the most significant of which was the unilateral cancellation of the direct international convertibility of the U.S. dollar to gold. So he ended it.
Well,
he ended converting dollars to gold.
Well, the question is, is there really any gold at Fort Knox, or has it been sold? And do we have, and how much do we
have
there?
I
have
no idea.
We've only had one audit. We're supposed to have an audit every year of our gold. The last time it was done in 1952 by Eisenhower. Now, every president has asked, like, let's get an audit of the gold. But as people such as Bernanke would say, I don't know. And who controls this? I don't know. And then they would say, you need to give us an answer. You say, I won't tell you. And
okay, you guys, we do have one small problem. I made the show for 30 minutes instead of 45.
Yes.
I screwed up. So we're already halfway through. So
okay.
Let's have Mike join us. Quickly.
Let him talk. It's just a question, though. Who has more money?
Just a minute, John. Do you guys want to do another show at midnight at 10 p.m.? Because I have to know right now.
Well, just one question. I'll shut up. Just one question.
Okay.
Who has more money, Putin or Donald Trump? Because you're talking how the communists or the socialists don't have any money. Who has more money, Putin or Trump? Now, you can continue.
That's not what I was saying. I was saying that power was not divided equally among capitalists and communists. When you're talking about the control of money and power brokering, it's not divided evenly between capitalists and communists. Go ahead, Mike, because I got to set up the next show. This one's going to be short. Go ahead.
Sure. Global New World Order first announced by Putin in the United Nations, Global New World Order. Then George Bush, first one, said Global New World Order. We are going towards one Global New World Order that it has global money and one universal money for all the nations. We have one universal army for all the nations. If a nation decided to rise against any other nation, then 190 nations universally will be united and attack that nation. So basically nobody has the guts to do that. So first of all, worldgovernment.org. I want you to go to worldgovernment.org and see already they have one office in Washington, D.C., and one office in Asia. they already started from 50 years ago, actually, issue world passports. And already world passport is used by many travelers going from, and they show that first. You can go see how many countries they have. 5 countries already accept them, and other countries case by case. But the question is, we are towards globalism. And globalism is peace, but nationalism is war, unfortunately. Am I right or wrong? Go ahead, please.
I agree with that, but John wouldn't.
Well, actually, it's the under Obama, which is kind of a globalist, we've been in more wars than ever with Afghanistan, over in Iraq. We continued over with Syria. Actually, Trump is trying to pull us out of Syria.
You can't really blame Obama on that, because those were continuing wars. And the Syrian and Yemenese wars have escalated in the last 2 years. So it has no contingency on who's holding office. Obama followed George W. Bush's plan to get out of Afghanistan by 2016. Trump just added 40,000 more troops. That has nothing to do with Obama.
Well, let's answer that question. Who was running money to Iran? $1.3 billion in cash before he left office, and over $150 billion in sanctions. Also, who was working with the Saudis? Who was funneling money to the Saudis? Who was working Uranium One? Who was working with the Chinese, selling technology and allowing? I hope you saw the note that I sent you regarding super microchip. How they were basically the Chinese were installing hacked chips into our military and our cell phones since 2015. Now this isn't just some conspiracy theory. This is actual fact headline. Obama approved to go into to expand with North Korea. Just think how long he's been working on that, and not just Obama, the Clintons and the Bushes, and here with Trump, within 2 years, has suddenly had them to tear down their program. We're getting out of that area, actually, not doing maneuvers. Go ahead and respond.
Yes, actually, what happens? I was just under white nationalist, socialist America. And I talked to them, and I tried to bridge a gap with them. Finally, I understood that they are the ones who did North Carolina, Charlotte demonstration. In that case, Heather Heider died in that demonstration. And what they're saying, they say no globalism, only nationalism, and we want only white race only. We don't want blacks. We don't want anybody else in this country. We want all to be a white country nation. And if you see the movie 22 July, in Netflix, please watch that. And then also watch T space error, terror. But it's not terror, it's T space error. And if you watch those things, you will see that many people, you remember that guy who made the accident, 20 people died recently with his limousine? You know, that guy was informant for FBI. And what he does, he puts the people into a trap or something. Innocent. These people are innocent. But this guy do it in a way and say, oh, these are they're trying to do something. So FBI captured them and put them 8 years, 10 years, and many of them, around 10 more people are in prison right now. But one of them is freed right now. So T error is what their story, that how this Hussein, whatever his name is, that limousine accident, he was FBI informant and give wrong information, and innocent people went to prison. So please watch these two movies. And 22 of July is about the terror attack of the white nationalist in Norway. This guy, he bombed the headquarters of Prime Minister in Norway. He said, we don't want anybody to come to our country anymore. We want a white, a race in Norway. So you will enjoy that those two movies, and we can talk about it next week for sure. Go ahead, please, Jane.
Or
are
maybe
you guys
talking? Or
John. Oh, yeah, she was asking you a question. I guess I was wondering, with the large cities such as Chicago or L.A. or New York, where we have humongously large social programs, Chicago is actually where the Rockefeller University of Chicago, he actually put a lot of money there. Obama came from Illinois and was a big part of the Chicago, the hierarchy. The question is someone like Trump a white nationalist supremacist who is anti-minority, or is he someone who's actually liberating blacks, whether it's talking with James Brown or Kanye West, or having people in his administration who actually advances women by position, by having high job employment, by having less people on welfare, by having a higher GPD? Or do you think that other social welfare programs enslave people, or do you think this is liberating people after all these years?
Jane, you go.
I feel like we're jumping around too much. Like, I was still pulling up information on Jared Kushner and the new crown prince of Saudi Arabia when you were challenging our last money exchange, which means I will be doing the introduction for the next show in 30 minutes. But I'll just let you guys finish your thoughts out because we only have 7 more minutes.
Right. Well, we can recenter on whatever you would like regarding economics. But I guess the big point I was getting at is that from minute one, we're brought into slavery to be in debt. Our system with the Federal Reserve, it's not a nationalistic thing like Lincoln where he had the greenback and where we were independent. Instead, we've gotten to a banking system that's international, that's central, that's World Bank, that's IMF. And it's all about one global control and where the elite rule over the masses. That's what the information I'm pulling. Now, do you have information contrary to that?
Let me tell you, when you walk in the street, that's socialism. That belongs to the government. And you have a right to walk on the sidewalk, my friend. Your social security is socialism. Your health care is time for really better kind. But if Donald Trump doesn't mess it up, then is your right. I mean, you have so many things. It's already, many people live in a special low-income housing. So that's socialism because you have to take care of your people. But if we don't take care of the people much, if we do it like Europe it does, or like Australia does, like in our neighboring country, Canada does, then we would be first-class citizens. Right now, unfortunately, because of nationalism, we actually they divide us and conquer. And that's the problem. I totally disagree with nationalism because then we have a white nationalism socialist, which I talked to them. Then we will have a black socialist, then we have Asian socialist, etc. So then everybody wants to say, my USA is belong to me. No, USA is belong to you, to me, to Jane, and to everybody. And we have to come to a middle ground that you know, is the condition of the world right now is required that we need to be active in globalism. Otherwise, you know, we can say, okay, it's mine, whatever you have, yours. But when your neighbor is hungry, your neighbor come and eat you up. That's the truth. Go ahead, please.
Well, I see nationalism actually when you have a strong military to defend your country, you have strong borders so terrorists don't come in and out funneling their money. Imagine if I started running people into your house left and right. You would go, who are these people? Oh, they're just, don't worry about it. You know, we're all brothers and sisters. Imagine if I said, I'm coming over for dinner tomorrow and bringing some friends. Your first question would probably be, well, have they asked my permission? And then the second question would be, how many are there? And go, well, don't worry about it. They're your need. They're going to suffer. Don't feed them. Now imagine this scenario, because you would never approve that. You would say, wait a second, I need to know who's coming in, how long they're going to stay. Am I feeding them? Am I taking care of them? Oh, well, they need medical care, by the way. They're kind of ill. Well, where are they going to sleep? Oh, I have to provide housing. This is the reality. And unless you are nationalistic, if you're globalist, you say,
you make it too hard.
It's my country.
John,
anyone.
Can I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
Do you think the United States' only role in the world has been to shepherd, protect, and feed people beyond our borders? Or do you think that we've caused any damage at all? For example, selling $110 billion worth of hardware and military capability to Saudi Arabia, do you think that has some kind of ripple effect where they're using those weapons to kill Yemenis and other people?
We have used through the Federal Reserve and through Wall Street and through all of the money that we control, because we are the dollar is still the currency that the world funnels through the petrodollar. We have manipulated the world and their economies, and it has contributed to people in South America, like Brazil and all those countries involved in there, Central America, Africa, all those countries suffering. The problems there could be cured with proper food, proper medicine, but that would create the surplus population, and the kind of the globalist mentality is that we can't have too many people, that we have to save the planet, that we have to limit growth, depopulate, in fact, abort, and birth control.
I don't think that's the role of globalism. The role of globalism is to effectively trade and share resources. Now, we've seen Iran be punished over the years for, they had barriers to trade because of their stance on many things. So that's just one example. But I see globalism as a purposeful way of sharing resources, but can it be done in a corrupt world with greedy people?
Well, when you say globalism, do you know what the 2030 agenda is for the United Nations? It's to identify every child for their safety.